So if we're honest, even without realizing it or meaning it, we have different categories of sin. And I'm not talking about the actual theological categories of venial and mortal sin. Instead, I'm talking about the categories of sins I'm okay with other people knowing I commit, and those sins I'm really grateful for the seal of confession. I think that adultery falls into that second category. It's one of those sins that draws out a deep sense of shame, that cultivates the idea, can I ever come back from that? Can I ever be something other than an adulterer or an adulteress? This gospel is powerful. And sometimes we kind of get into the mode of like, I wonder what Jesus was writing on the ground. It's really not important, because if it were, it would tell us. Really, the key to all of this is the interaction between Jesus and this woman. They make no bones about the fact that this woman, as they say, is caught in the very act of committing adultery. They didn't give her time to do her hair, makeup, get dressed. They're dragging her out to stone her. They're compounding the shame, the destruction that that sin brings with it, further dehumanizing her and taking away her dignity, or affirming, in your sin you have no dignity left. It's not hard for us to maybe imagine ourselves in this or a similar situation, to be so exposed. Our innate reaction is to close ourselves off. We wouldn't make eye contact, enter into conversation. We'd want to shrink away. We'd want to run away and hide. And yet when everyone else leaves, she immediately enters into conversation with Jesus. He doesn't have to coax her. He speaks to her, she speaks to him. And so this is a doorway of very real wonder for us, because we know how we would be caught out and exposed in those sins that we want no one to know about. In those sins that we're not totally sure we've forgiven ourselves for. In those sins that we're not sure there's any coming back from. There was something so safe and dignifying about Jesus' look and manner towards her, that she could speak to him. She could come out of the prison of shame. She could receive the dignity that he was giving back to her. This episode in the gospel is, for my money, one of the most powerful ones for us to grow in intimacy and prayer with God ourselves. Because in our own lives, in our conversation with the Lord, we tend to have those areas that are safe for conversation with him. But most of us are not totally intimate with him yet. We may and should confess all of our sins, even really awful ones, but we leave it there, right? Like, okay, Lord, I talked about it there, so let's just agree that we're not going to talk about it at any other point. But generally, that doesn't actually change our heart, doesn't change our behavior. We need further conversation with the Lord. We need His presence with us in the temptation to shame, self-loathing, self-reproach that lingers even after we leave the confessional. Those things become barriers to intimacy even when the guilt of sin has been absolved. And so this gospel shows that Jesus cuts right through all of that, that He wants to cut right through all of that for us. So have we allowed ourselves to receive the look of Jesus that this woman caught in adultery received? In our prayer, have we lingered just letting Jesus look upon us with love? Does that idea make us uncomfortable? Does it make us kind of want to turn away? Does it stir up all of the reasons that He shouldn't look on us with love? All the more reason that He wants to go right there. He desires us to receive back from Him our dignity, our safety, our security, the strength that we need to go and sin no more. Doing it the other way, going, look, once I got everything neat and tidy, I can come to you on equal footing, is ultimately founded on pride, even if we don't notice it, even if it's well-intentioned. This is why St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, kind of flips things around. He said, I haven't attained perfect maturity. I haven't already taken hold of the grace of resurrection from the dead. I continue in hope that I will possess it, because I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. He begins with the fact that Jesus steps into the breach, especially of the stuff that is most shameful, the stuff that we are most likely to try and hide from Him. It's there that He already steps in and says, I take hold of you. I call you mine. And then Paul understands that it's from there that we are able to grow to maturity, that we're able to receive the embrace of the Lord and then embrace Him in turn. This gospel is so powerful as we get ready to enter into these next 2 weeks leading up to Easter, because it becomes a chance for us to meet Jesus in a new way, to meet that look of love that He has for us as we walk with Him on the way of the cross, as we're at the foot of the crucifixion, as we're at the empty tomb, as we're with the apostles when Jesus appears to them, to continually let the question linger in our heart and to allow it to be stirred up in our imagination as something very true, how He looks on us. Because if it could give this woman at the most awful moment of her life, material and spiritual, such dignity that she could speak to Him and go off strengthened to sin no more, What can it do for us?
So as we receive Jesus in the Eucharist today, may we allow his gaze to meet ours. May we allow him to step in to the places where we haven't forgiven ourselves yet, where we're afraid or imprisoned by shame. May we allow his look to break down those barriers to intimacy that sin has left behind. May we allow his look to give us our dignity back. May we allow him to, as St. Paul says, take possession of us, that we may return his embrace.